Rick and Janelle Holly.
Hello?
Hi, Chuck. It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. I didn't think you were going to be here tonight.
Oh, yeah. We're here. We got back off the ship on Sunday.
How'd it go?
It was really good. Had a great time. Yeah.
Anybody else here?
I don't think so.
Nope, just us.
John Satriano.
Candy Brown.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
John.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're here, Sandy. We're just waiting for me, you, John, and Mike.
Oh, okay. I just talked to John, and he's on his way.
He's here.
Okay, yeah, if I sit in?
Yeah, you have my permission, Sandy.
Thank you, John.
Richard Kinnison.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good.
Good.
Holly.
Ken Ferris. Who else is here?
Holly's here.
Oh, okay.
this is Anthony also.
All right, cool.
Waiting for Evan.
Does that mean John Satriano's here?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it does.
Hi, John Satriano.
How's it going, Ed?
Good.
Kim Laird.
Hi, Kim.
Hello. How are you, John?
Hey, Anthony, are you planning to come to Winston-Salem this year?
It's a high probability, yes.
Okay, cool.
There's a lot of crap going on during this. They want me to go to Niger.
Ooh.
Isn't that where you, weren't you there before?
No, that was Nigeria.
Oh, that's where you got in the fight, right?
Yeah.
They won't let him back there.
Not one he started by. One of the few he's not responsible for.
Alas, you know, I can't have credit for everything.
Keep it in America, dude. Give Kevin another minute or two, and then we'll get started. Anybody talked to Kevin recently?
No.
Mike?
No, I haven't.
I spoke to Bill Barr today, who is pretty good friends with Kevin, and they both live, you know, geographically close to each other. And he has not heard from Kevin for a month or two now.
I heard from... I got off the phone with Bob Nickerson about an hour ago because he's already offering to do workshops, so I'm ready to pass that information on. So I can only email
workshop coordinator.
No, just to teach him. I'm sure he'll want to do like 7 or 8 though. That's what it was last year. All right. Well, let's get started. And if Evan. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 8.04 p.m. Do a roll call. Chuck Hawley is here. Kim Laird?
Here.
Ben Ferris?
Here.
Hey. Anthony?
Yeah, here, sorry.
All right, okay. John Satriano?
Here.
Oh,
I'm here, Chuck.
Sorry. All right, Richard. You here?
I'm here.
All right, Ben.
Cutting in and out somehow.
Okay. Janelle Hawley?
Here.
Hawley Greeley?
Yeah, here.
And Sandy Brown?
Here.
Am I missing anybody?
Mike Sullivan's here, too.
Sullivan, I'm sorry.
Martin, right. Is Martin Frost here?
No, Martin is not here.
Okay.
Aston is.
He's on his way, I think.
Okay. All right. So first thing is I move to approve the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Anybody opposed? Anybody abstains? Motion passes. Agenda is approved. Approval of minutes. Chuck moves to approve the minutes of January 14th meeting. Can I get a second?
Chuck, when were those sent out?
They were sent out about 2 days after the meeting.
Okay, then I definitely saw them then.
Yeah, so Janelle usually sends, she's usually good within 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
Can I get a second?
I second it.
Any discussion? Changes, edits. Well, anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Minutes are approved. Let's move. Actually, before we move on to the reports, one thing I want to let everybody know is that Janelle is currently pregnant right now. So,
congratulations!
Yay. Congratulations!
Which some of you guys already know, but.
Who's the father?
We're working on that. I'm glad I haven't seen you in a couple months. No, I'm joking. But she's due in August, At this, we're not sure if she's going to make the festival or not, but we're going to be looking for a new recording secretary. So I'm going to work with Laura Caseman on that and get a job description out and probably have that out in a little bit. But I'm definitely planning on coming to the festival. However, I have backups in place, working on getting everything in place just in case I can't be. But I have a full intention of being there. So that's where we are and what's going on. And with that said, I will not be running for the board again. So just wanted to let everybody know about that, and that stuff will be coming across Board Plus on that pretty soon. So let's start with reports. Mike, do you want to go first?
Sure, Chuck. Thanks.
Thank you.
hello, everyone. And got just a few things to tell you about right now. First of all, registrations are open, as you know, and only a few have come in so far. We've got 7 paid registrations, 3 volunteer registrations, and 1 order for the special workshop so far. However, hotel bookings are very brisk, and we are already at capacity at the Embassy Suites for our block. As a matter of fact, for the midweek dates, we are over our capacity. So we have already filled up our entire room block at the Embassy Suites. The Marriott, on the other hand, is wide, wide open, and essentially all of the remaining room nights that we have in our blocks now are at the Marriott. Registration database is nearing completion by yours truly, and data input will begin by the end of the month, if not sooner. I've purchased all the registration materials, and we're getting that lined up and ready to go. The main cash register for the IJA staff table at Winston-Salem is all programmed up and ready to go, and I still have it. However, I'm going to continue searching for a newer, more modern main cash register, which I'm fairly certain we'll be able to get for $100 or $150 or so to use as our main register in Winston-Salem and for future years, and use the current one as our backup. Many of you know we've not heard from Kevin Axtell since he agreed to be our workshops director 3 months ago, and that's very concerning to me. If no one knows what Kevin's situation is, then I think I need to move to finding a new workshops director, because I can't continue to have no communication with someone who is responsible for such a big part of the festival. Anyone have any comments on that?
This is John. I guess, like I said, I spoke to Bill Barr today, who's good friends with Kevin. Mm-hmm. We've heard from several different sources now that Kevin is, maybe has some things going on in his personal life that are backing him up. Certainly, we understand that at times, no matter how good of a volunteer you are, sometimes you just don't have time to give to the IJA.
Right.
And that's fine, but I think you're right. I think, it's probably time to say, Kevin is not going to be able to provide all the help that he offered this year, and maybe we need to start looking at making sure these positions are filled.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Hey, Mike, it's Chuck. One recommendation I would make is to, give him an email. He did send out an email at the end of a month ago saying he would be there and he would be doing it. So,
mm-hmm.
You'd say unless.
Okay. I'll do that. And if I don't hear back from him by the end of the week, I'll start pursuing some candidates that John and I have talked about.
Good idea. And let me know if you need help transferring nation and blah, 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 all that stuff.
Also.
Oh, okay. That's right, because you were director last year, right?
The past 2 years, and I have a bunch of stuff I can hand over to help. So just let me know.
Good.
Also, Mike, if you try calling him, the number on our contacts page is no longer his number.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if you had his new number.
If you have it, Kim?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, thanks. All right, one other bit of help I'd like is if anyone knows of a good travel agent. The travel agent that John and Sandy have used in the past really let me down, and I don't feel comfortable working with her. So I am on the lookout for a good travel agent that can handle our booking of our guest performers, many of them coming from Europe. Believe it or not, here in Orlando, Florida, one of the biggest destination vacation cities in America, I can't find a good travel agent that's within 20 miles of my house. So if anybody has a relationship with a travel agent and they think they'd do a good job for us, let me know. I'd really like to get in touch with them. The IJA Video Promotion Project, headed by Bill Barr, is doing some really incredible videos, and you're seeing some of them already on juggle.org. They've also produced a pretty clever and funny Part 2 video, and I would love to know who that is in the second video. It's really cleverly done and well-produced. And we're going to promote all of those and solicit additional promotional videos in the IJA newsletter coming out later this month.
Mike,
John,
is that the one?
Yes, go.
I'm sorry, was that the one where a girl was holding up signs?
No, the one I'm talking about is called Part 2, and it's the guy who's juggling things throughout the entire video in his house as he's ironing and cooking and doing laundry and typing on his laptop and everything else. It's really pretty great. Anyway, that's going to keep going, and I think there's a lot of credit due to Bill Barr for getting all of that done and whoever else is working on those videos. It's really amazing. John gave me a great idea today about holding a contest to design our festival logos and T-shirt designs, so I'm going to go ahead and do that and announce the contest in our February newsletter. And I'll propose an entry deadline for draft concepts at low resolution of March 31st. That gives people a little over a month to get some sketches or drafts in. And I'm proposing that if one of the submitted entries is selected for use, the submitter will be given a festival package as our thanks, which they can transfer if they wish, if they're not able to make it to the festival. And that's all I had to report tonight, but I'm happy to take your questions. Nothing?
Yeah, sounds good, Mike.
Okay.
Are there any?
Thanks very much, and Chuck, I'll send these notes to Janelle so she can include them in the report.
Mike, yep. Are there any areas you're having problems, troubles, difficulties where you could, you know, use some help or?
Really, at this point, only the ones I mentioned, finding a travel agent and getting a workshops director. Everything else, I think we're in good shape on, John.
Okay. Travel agent, try talking to Michael Rossman.
Oh, yeah?
I could do that if you like, but he certainly does a lot of moving performers in and out of the Baltimore area, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I will. I know Michael, and I'll write to him about that and see if he has any ideas. Good. Thanks.
Sure.
All right. Anything else? If not, I'll drop off the call if I don't need to stay on.
Thanks, Mike. You're great.
Okay. Thank you all. Bye.
All right. Holly, would you like to go next?
Sure. I have a couple items. One is just to let you know that the annual report is finished and signed off on by Kim. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Holly.
And the January financials I sent out, I'm not sure that there's really a whole lot to report there, just because it's pretty early in the year. Martin asked some good questions, and I think I copied you all on my follow-up about the membership income being so high for January, and that is 2009 memberships that have been paid for in prior years, but we don't recognize that income until the current year. So that all gets recognized in January. It does not reflect an increase in memberships. And my numbers line up with Mike's numbers as far as festival income so far, and I just looked, and it's actually pretty much in line with where we were at this time last year. So I didn't look at the prior year to see how it lines up with that, but it's pretty comparable to last year at this time. In fact, I think it's exactly comparable to last year at this time. Otherwise, I'm not sure there's a whole lot to talk about on the financials unless anybody has any questions on them. And I'll take that as a no. The other item that I have is the budget for 2009, and I sent out a draft and was hoping for comment and questions and modifications on it. I haven't heard from anybody.
When did you send out the budget?
I sent out the budget
about 3 days ago.
When was it?
About 3 days ago, maybe a week ago.
That sounds about right. I can look at my email and see what day it actually went out, but I'm not sure offhand. Anyway, I can resend it right now if need be. Did anybody get it?
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay. I can resend it now if you'd like, or I can just kind of go through it and tell you the highlights. So it's up to you how I proceed.
Apparently, I'm just the only one that's not getting it, but I haven't gotten either of the two emails you've just referred to, so I got to check something out. So.
Okay, yeah, I sent it to board@juggle.org.
Yeah, I must be having problems, so.
Okay.
Figure it out.
Well, the budget that I sent out was organized by category, five categories, which is the same format that I report the profit and loss in. The festival budget in my overall budget is exactly what I had from Mike as of his last submission. So that just lines up with exactly what he sent out quite a while ago. The general fund budget reflects advertising income from the magazine of about $750 per issue, which is roughly what we've been running. It reflects a continuing decline in membership income, and you know, I would love to have some input as to what other people think that might be, you know, what rate we may or may not continue to decline at. I have a feeling that I estimated that maybe a little too aggressively. So if anybody has an opinion on that, I'd be happy to hear it. Also in the general fund, professional services are my fees. The magazine expense is inclusive of the quarterly allowance, publisher allowance of $100, and foreign postage expense of about $400 per issue. I think everything else in that column is pretty straightforward. Communications, it's about $3,100. That includes our cell phone bill, which it seems to me is just a complete waste of money. I don't know who's using that program. I mean that contract besides Todd. I think he's the only one probably using it at all. So,
and I'm sorry to cut in, Holly, but Mike had said that, you know, closer to the fest he might need more minutes, but we can check with him again. He indicated to me he may just use his own minutes.
Right. Even if he needs more minutes, it might make better sense to just reimburse him for his own cell phone instead of paying this contract all year long. Because it's about, I don't know, $100 a month or $120 a month or something. Anyway, that is in the budget. So, and that ends up with about a $41,000 loss in the general fund. The video category, I put travel in kind of in line with what it's been the last 2 years, I think, or maybe it was just last year. Anyway, it's really just travel for one person to the festival and hotel at the festival. In fact, it may not even be high enough to cover that. It's $900. I understand that, in fact, we may be covering two people's travel and hotel, so this may need to go up. Is that right, John? Are you the person to ask that question of?
Yeah, but the answer to that would be no.
Okay.
What makes you think we'd be covering two people?
Because that's the only information that I have. I don't have any other information. So,
John, this is Sandy. I think it was because if there's a 2009 video, as is currently planned, last year Jay Coe's hotel was paid, and this year Ivan is going to go. So
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. But
yeah.
Ivan would be under the we actually had another videographer in 2008. But we paid him. He was the professional. And he paid his own travel expenses out of his pocket.
Oh, okay. His hotel as well?
Yes.
Okay, and that will be the case this year?
I'm sorry?
That will also be the case this year?
That's the contract we're working on is, yeah.
Okay.
We'll pay Ivan a lump sum, and he'll pay his travel expenses out of that.
Okay. All right. So the other big ticket item in the video column is production and reproduction. And again, I really didn't know how much to put in here. I put $12,500, and that includes what remains to be paid from the 2008 video plus 2009. So, John, I'm looking for a number from you that is correct for that cost.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not sure what goes into that, really, just off the top of my head. I think I could give you a couple of numbers right now, but I'm not sure if they'd be inclusive. You know what I mean?
Well, do we have... We're paying somebody to...
Off the top of my head, we paid $3,500 for the videographer.
That's correct. Is that what we're expecting to pay again this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
We paid, well, let's just do last year. We paid $6,500 for the editing.
When was that paid?
Probably haven't been finished paying yet.
Has any of them paid?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, we may not have even made an initial payment.
I don't think we've made an initial payment because I didn't pay anything after the fast.
Okay, so that's $6,500, you said?
Right. And then there's Jayco's travel. I'm not sure what that came to. And then the duplication and shipping is around $3,500.
Jayco's travel came to approximately $1,200 last year. That's hotel and his gas.
Okay. And then is there anything else? Are there any other phases of production that I'm forgetting?
Well, that sounds inclusive to me. That does increase this video budget considerably. So, talking another $10,000 for 08, right?
Well, and what's the total on that for 08?
I'm sorry?
What's the total on that for 08?
The total... remaining to be paid is, sounds like from what you just said, $10,000 plus the $3,500 that we paid to the videographer at the fest.
Right.
Plus Jay's hotel room at the fest and some other miscellaneous expenses. So $13,500-ish.
$13,500.
And then for 09, another $13,500. So we owe $23,500, or we need to have in the budget $23,500 instead
gotcha.
Of the $12,500 that I have in there. So that puts us at about a $20,000 loss in the video column instead of a $9,000 loss and a $42,000 loss overall. Okay. Then in the archives, the only income I have in there is interest income. I wasn't sure whether we're planning an auction or not, and that would be the only other income that would appear in the archives column. So if anybody knows that we're planning an auction, let me know, and I'll put that in. Under professional services, John, I have $1,700 remaining to be paid on the digital archiving project.
Right.
And then $1,200 for storage, which we pay $100 a month to 100-acre properties for. And then the life member fund, I planned no life member purchases, just interest income of $2,400, and that's it. So that gives us an overall loss from operations of about $42,000. So I guess I'm kind of putting that out there for the board to decide whether to approve that budget as is, whether to try and make changes in either the budget or the operation to get rid of some of that loss, or how you want to proceed.
It just sounds so catastrophic that it's almost not worth dealing with. It sounds like it's time to lock up the doors and shut off the lights and go home.
Any other opinions on that?
Well, it is dark and dismal. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if we're to the point of chaining the door shut quite yet, but I always like to think of that glass as half full.
Hey, Holly?
Yeah.
So $42,000 net loss for 2009. So my question is, when or if, have we already started to dip into the Life Member Fund and the Archives Fund?
Not for expenses unrelated to those funds. We have used some archive funds, but only for archive-related expenses.
Right.
So
and so,
expenses, no.
How much cash do we have? So when will we start, well, let's see, when will it be that we start to dip into those? I mean, how much, I'm driving right now, and I don't have any of that in front of me. So.
As of the 13th, which is the last day that I downloaded transactions from PayPal,
right.
We had operating cash available of about $40,000.
Okay. So not too far down the road, especially with the festival coming up and expenses, et cetera, depending on how well festival registrations do, it could be conceivable that this spring we do start to dip into those funds.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know what deposits are due when for the festival, but it's not unlikely that those will be due before we have enough festival income to cover them. So it's entirely possible that that happens before the fest.
Okay.
And even the festival income is based on a 20% drop over 2007. But at this point, who knows? It may even be less than that. We may not make our profit, our estimated profit of $18,000, and
right.
Make it. If we only made an $8,000 profit this year, we're looking at a $50,000 loss.
That's right.
The numbers just keep getting bigger. Holly, can you tell me what the video income, the income on video sales was for 2008?
I think I probably can.
$5,000-something, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just under $5,300, $5,299.62.
And does that include the pre-purchases on the 2008 DVD?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we do have a Naranja order on hand right now. And Sandy, am I right that that's about $2,400 or $2,600?
I don't know. I meant to get back to you today on that. They ordered 130 units at the half of the half the retail?
Yeah.
And so and they cover. I'm not sure what that is.
Do we know what retail is going to be on the 2008 video?
Well, that was going to be a question I had. Johnny, are we staying the same?
No. We did change it. The change has been determined and printed. It's already gone to the magazine already. But I think we raised it to $25 with
your
festival package, and $40 just on the website. I think
$40 is what it's been on the website, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And we may not have raised that. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think we did. Martin would know, but I think we kept it the same. We only raised pre-registration prices.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay, so that's $2,600 in income if we're charging Naranja $20 a shot. And we did not have any orders from them in 08. So assuming that video income stays the same as 08 plus Naranja, we can take that up by $2,600.
Well, I guess, and that's for their 08 DVD purchase, which
that's
normally would have come out in 08.
Right, right.
So in 09, we could actually double that, really. If we're going to have a DVD, they'll make the same purchase in 09.
Okay, so you want me to put $5,200 in for Naranja in addition to
$53? Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So we had $5,000 in video income and sales in 2008, and that did not include Naranja's order.
Right.
So really, you could think of it as $7,500.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's the I think the biggest chunk that we can save at once is by getting rid of the DVD. And I think maybe we could save $5,000 doing that. This I guess, is part of the discussion we'll have later, but I'm not even sure it's worth saving that $5,000 by getting rid of one of our absolute basic reasons for existing.
Isn't it more like $10,000?
I don't think so, because we're looking at 13.5, I think, Holly, was the number we just figured up for production costs.
Yep.
And Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I thought that we had discussed that it was 18, really, the total DVD cost, shipping and everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that number came from, and maybe that's why I'm thinking that that I didn't come up with all the phases of production. But
well, editing and filming alone, according to the figures I have in front of me, came to $10,000.
Right. And then
just over $10,000, so that's not even counting the replication yet.
Well, but replication and shipping for the U.S. pre-order comes to about $3,500.
Okay, so we are missing $3,500 in there. If the videographer is $3,500, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the editing and production is $10,000?
No, $6,500
for the editing.
And then replication and shipping is $3,500?
Right.
So that's,
and then Jay's, the cost of Jay's travel wasn't in there either, so about another $1,200 on top of that.
Okay. So $15,000.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm guessing that we'll sell about 200 DVDs at $25 each with membership packages. You know, I'm guessing that won't go down much. This 2008, we sold 240. So I don't think 200 that's $5,000. And then Naranja's order would be about another $2,500. So we're recouping about half, I guess.
Right.
We're looking at about a $7,000 loss on the DVD for that night.
Correct.
Does that sound right, huh?
Martin.
That sounds right to me. That's assuming that, you know, all sold, both Naranja and the Fest packages.
Right. And also, what it doesn't, Ivan said that he's willing to take, to take a lower, basically to take a pay cut, especially since he'll be doing both videographer and editing this year. But we can save some money there. But that's about it. Pretty much everywhere else, our costs are really fixed.
This is Martin. I just came on. And can you tell me what the amount of money you're talking about saving is?
Right now, we figured out that. Wow. Is that you, Martin?
Yeah. Yeah, smart.
Yeah, somebody was making the...
Oh, no, that wasn't me making the noise. I heard that.
Right now, we're working with the figure of about $7,000. If we don't do the 09 DVDs, we're thinking we'll save about $7,000.
If we don't do
DVDs in 09, festival DVDs.
Of course, we've already advertised and sold some, but...
Right.
Refund that, I suppose.
We've only sold a few. Conceivably, we could even change the brochure going into the magazine if we decided tonight. I don't know if that's gone to print yet.
And the other part of the of Holly's report you'll probably want to know is that we're estimating, even if the festival makes its targeted $18,000 profit, we're going to lose around $41,000.
Yep. Well, I did. Yeah. I did see her report from a week or so ago.
Okay. So, you know, what we're talking about now, I guess, is are we ready to cut one of our legs off, which is, you know, the DVD is one of our basic reasons for existing. Are we ready to stop having that reason for existing?
I make one comment. Is Mike on the line?
No, he signed off.
Okay. His estimate, his budget that shows a, you know, potential $18,000 profit, and as you say, a net loss for the IGA of $38,000 or $40,000. I don't think we're gonna get as many people as he had budgeted there. He had supposedly reduced the estimated attendance, but he reduced it from 2007, not from 2008. Now,
yeah, I worked with him on that, and what we did was we took 2007 and we took a 20% drop from 2007.
Yeah, well, we had about a 20% drop in 2008. So what you're
20%.
Yeah. So what you're looking at is pretty much duplicating 2008, and I'm guessing we won't do that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. And we had also considered the fact that it's not likely that we'll make our target.
Yeah, so, I mean, that means even less, you know, maybe a bunch of people will come. I've been trying very hard to convince people to renew memberships I've changed the wording on the reminder to say, you know, really support the IGA, and I didn't say desperate, but very similar, some word similar.
Yeah.
And I'm sending out renewal reminders more often, too, every month instead of every month and a half, to try to get people to renew. But that'll only get renewals.
Right.
Cool.
And, you know, and we're
go ahead.
Bill Barr is doing a great job with promo, but, you know, we can only do so much.
I was just looking at a comparison of 2008 and 2007 in terms of dollars, not in terms of numbers of people. Package plans we sold were down 11.5% year over year.
Yeah, okay.
The gym admissions were down 31%. Ticket sales were down 36%. And total festival income was down about 20%. That doesn't include donations.
Okay.
If you include donations in that picture, it's down about 29%.
Let me just, I'm pulling up the data now. I had attendance last year at 548. I think that was within a one or two of what Holly had. Do you remember, Holly?
I don't remember, but I remember our numbers being really close, but not exactly the same.
Yeah. And... do I have 2007 numbers? Well, I do have it somewhere. And it was 650 or something like that. I don't remember, but it's close to a 20% drop.
Yep, that's not good. You know, I don't think nobody's going to come up with any brilliant ideas to save us from losing $41,000. So I guess the next question is, can we weather that loss, Holly?
Well, I guess it depends on how much the board is willing to dip into life member funds and archive funds and use those up and what the long-term outlook is in people's opinion. You know, is this something that the IJA recovers from as the economy recovers, if the economy recovers? And if so, when's that likely to happen? You know, if it's 2 years from now, yeah, maybe you weather it by dipping into those funds. If it's 5 years from now, probably not. So, I mean, it's anybody's guess, I think, as to... how long this decline in membership continues and what to do about it and whether it is reversible.
Right.
I mean, it's been going on for years. 693 is the number I have for Winston-Salem and 548 for Lexington. So actually that's almost That's 145. That's more than 20% drop.
Yeah, but the revenue didn't drop that much
yeah.
for the package plan. So I'm guessing
yeah.
there was a difference in comps or something, right?
Right. We have fewer comps
yeah.
in Lexington, so.
Yeah.
But you say the revenue did drop 20%. Is that right?
Overall revenue, but not from registrations. The package plans were down 11.5%, and the gym admissions were down 31%.
Mm-hmm.
And overall revenue was down 20%.
19%. Right. Yeah, 20%.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, it's hard for me to imagine. You know, the video is a place where we could save one chunk of money. But it's hard for me to imagine us saving a lot of money anywhere else. I mean, you know, with the festival, a lot of our costs are just fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Our budgets are, you know, are already spent. And, you know, even if we stop doing the DVD and we save $7,000 there, we tighten every place else up like crazy, and maybe we end up saving overall, you know, $15,000. We're still looking at a $25,000 loss for the year. And that's, you know, we're only making it up to that level by cutting off one of our legs. You know, is it worth cutting off our leg? Is the $25,000 loss instead of the $40,000 loss going to make that much of a difference? I mean,
I think it's worth it. It means we'll exist, you know, can do other things longer. I think at this point we really need to look at what we can cut, and that's one of the things we can. You know, I don't know, maybe there's somebody out there that's rich and would say, you know, oh my God, you're going to cut that out? And we say, yeah. And they say, well, you know, if I give you $10,000, will you keep going? But, you know, I think that's unlikely. We can't really count on that sort of thing.
Right.
I think we need to, it's a big, I mean, we if we sell at $25 each, we sell a couple hundred, that's $5,000, and it's going to cost us $12,000 or something.
What, that to create the videos?
Yeah.
I think we get it out around $14,000.
$14,000, okay. So we're looking at, you said earlier $7,000 that we could save by not doing it. Yeah.
Right. And although even that is not entirely true, because that assumes that we don't do any video. I'm guessing that even if we don't create the DVDs, we're still going to want somebody to videotape the championships and the Cascade of Stars. And that means at least we need a volunteer, but really our volunteers are not quite up to the task of filming theater, you know, in theaters. I mean, Jay, you know, I'm very familiar with Jay's video. He's been videotaping all the festivals on the East Coast for years. And he'd be the first one, he is the first one to admit that his understage lighting, he does not get great results. And I've seen very few amateurs able to do it.
How much did we pay last year to hire someone just to shoot the video?
$3,500? Right. And Jay came, well, no, I'm sorry. We probably wouldn't need Jay for that. So we're looking at, you know, $3,500, and that would come off of the $7,000 that we're looking at saving. So now we're really only looking at saving $4,000.
Yeah, I'm sort of inclined to agree with John that cutting the video in some ways exacerbates the problem. Actually, that's putting words in your mouth, John, but...
No, it's exactly. I'm saying it a different way. Cutting off one of our legs.
Exactly, I think we really need to be. At least what I would love to hear is some kind of plan or thoughts about how to fix the membership problem rather than how to save the money.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying to fix the membership problem for 15 or 20 years, for 15 years at least, and all kinds of things have been tried and. you know, nothing has really worked.
Yeah.
So, you know, we certainly can't count on being able to fix it.
Yeah,
that means...
there really aren't any magic solutions here.
So that means long-term, it seems like we need to, you know, plan for the smaller membership and smaller festival attendance and plan that with a break-even budget somehow. whether that's by increasing membership dues even more, and I think many people have said, you know, we should have raised membership dues more, or heavily soliciting donations from those people who would have been willing to pay higher dues. You know, we really haven't done that. And we did it with life members for a few years, but we haven't for the last couple of years. Or, you know, I don't know. We cut out the magazine and do a newsletter. Seems like we need to do something. Sorry, I'm not giving you any great new ideas, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. I'm not sure there are any magic bullets.
And I think, you know, we really need to do... So there are a lot of little BBs, non-magic BBs, and we need to do them all, or as many as we can find. And if one of them is cutting out the video, maybe that... You know, John, what you call it cutting out off a leg, but how many people join the IJA because we have a DVD? What's the benefit to... members, aside from being able to get this, you know, video.
I understand.
I don't think cutting off a leg is really an exaggeration. If you said, you know, getting rid of the magazine, that I would call that cutting off a leg. But even though I don't like that terminology, but people certainly subscribe to get the magazine. They don't join just to get the DVD.
Well, no, but maybe that's just my own opinion, but it's just always seemed to me that the IJA, there were three main things that we did, which is we have a festival, we have a magazine, and we have a record of the festival.
Right.
And what we're talking about is getting rid of one of them.
I mean, I agree that I don't fully agree with what you're saying, Martin, although I'm sort of in between the way you and John are putting it, because I know before I joined the IJA, before I went to a festival, I saw videos. So in some ways, it's advertisement for the festival and, as a result, membership. But yeah, I mean, I also agree. I'm not joining the IJA just for the DVD. But I think there are some benefits we're not talking about there either. Maybe it's some we may not even be realizing. Unfortunately, we can clearly see the downside of the numbers. Or I guess fortunately we can.
I mean, I think it's just part of the cycle of, you know, fewer members means fewer services means fewer members, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think cutting out the DVD is going to cause us to lose members. If it causes us to lose 5 or 10, you know, okay,
no,
maybe.
Yeah, you can't look at it in that light exactly. It's just that the more services we lose, the less reasons we have for people being a member.
Does anybody know if the videos has ever even broke even?
Well, I think we'd made money on videos for a while because we were selling all the back videos. The thing is, we sell it for a year. I mean, we sell it. The current video is current for a year, and then we continue to sell it for over the next 5 years. We probably sell another, you know, 100 or 200 or something of the... And we sold a lot of DVDs before we took them off the, you know, of old videos before we took them off the market. So I think we were making a profit before that happened.
Sure. When we had 1,500 people coming to the festival, we sold a lot more videos, so...
Well, we only had 1,500 like once.
Yeah, but
if that.
We did. We had much higher numbers for a while, much higher than 500 or 600.
Well, we had 1,100 supposedly in St. Louis, and I don't have a number for Pittsburgh, but I don't think it was 1,500, and none of the other numbers were over 1,000. So I have numbers of 990 in Akron, 900 in Akron, 755 in Montreal.
Yeah.
650 in Burlington. I mean, in Fargo. St. Louis and Pittsburgh were the two big ones.
Do we know when the next magazine is?
It's due to go to print any time now.
Actually, I just got an email from Alan yesterday.
Where's Ted?
And I know he mentioned when it went in.
But it went in?
Is that the printer now? Yeah.
Is that the printer? Okay.
Printer now.
And the reason, I put it in a chair column and I put some stuff out there, but about, you know, what we should do with the future and sort of asking some people, you know, for their input. We're not getting much into it. We're not getting much response on it, which is concerning to me, but I guess it's not fully unexpected. But, yeah, I don't know that I would like to wait a little before we make a decision, although I guess if we have to do the DVD sooner rather than later, it makes sense, I guess, correct?
Well, we quit selling it.
Well, I mean,
if we made that decision, I mean.
I mean, do we have to make the decision about the DVD tonight?
I don't think you have to make it tonight.
No. No, but we do have to make it soon. If we're gonna have a DVD, we need to probably make that decision next month.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
This is Richard. I'm going to give you my perspective on this. I agree that there's three things: the festival, the magazine, and the DVD. And my idea is, from the perspective of rendering assistance to jugglers, the recording of that history is so important, both in the magazine form and in the DVD form. And I actually think the festival, because there's so many other festivals now, and we don't have a monopoly on those, I think that's the thing we have to reconstruct to be smaller and break even, as Martin said, somehow. But I don't put the festival as the number one thing, believe it or not, in its present state.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing we have to change. But I think rendering assistance, like you said, for being in existence, I think you're exactly right, personally. I think the DVD and the magazine are the two things we do historically. Now that there are all these other festivals that are pretty big, and we don't have a monopoly on that anymore, I think that's the thing we do that we hang our hat on.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I appreciate you putting that into words for me, because I'm
That's really how I see it. I mean, I love the festival, and in the past it was the thing out of those three, in a way, but I don't think it's the... I was in Atlanta this 2 weekends ago, you know, and there was 185 registered jugglers, I think. I forgot the numbers now, but it was a pretty big festival, you know, and you got everything you get. We had a beautiful show. We had a competition. It was, you know, it's like... And Don Lewis was there, and we're like, you know... You know, really, we sort of grew these festivals. We got everybody excited in the past, and they all went off to their cities and have festivals, and it's a beautiful thing. But we lost our monopoly on the festival.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm just restating the problem, but I do think historically, importantly, the thing we do for the juggling community at large is we have this magazine, we have this DVD.
Right.
I think that the DVD... I think you're overrating the DVD, partly because, I mean, with YouTube, there's juggling videos all over the place, and they're all free. And what the DVD shows is the championship competitors' full routines. That's like the only thing, and even some of those end up getting posted on, you know, YouTube, although it may be from our video of it. So it's not clear to me how, you know, I know jugglers who don't, you know, they don't look at the DVD. They were at the festival, but, you know, they've seen it in person, so they don't need to look at it. I mean, we don't show whole routines of the Cascade of Stars, so that's really not all that big a deal, that segment, if you ask me. The Cascade of Stars segment on the DVD is just sort of a teaser. And then there's, you know, juggling in the gym, and there's usually some interesting stuff there, but it's not all that fantastic, if you ask me. So the main thing that I see on there is the competition whole routines. And, you know, I'm not sure it's worth the effort it's worth the money to put out that DVD. We could put it, you know, we could have those championship routines, we could have them videoed by volunteers or by fixed cameras. And, you know, if we can get white balance that and that sort of thing, we must have people who can do that. Even if you know, we don't currently have some such a person working for us as a volunteer, we can make those videos for free, or for the cost of the tape or whatever, which is virtually free. We can get volunteers to do it, and then we can, you know, we can put those on the web or make them available for member downloads or something. I don't know. We can still save that $7,000.
Just to give my input as to how I look at the DVD, and I do love the DVDs, but basically I look at the Fest DVD as being a video yearbook of my summer vacation, because the IJA Fest is my summer vacation. So that's instead of me walking around the gym and taking my own footage or taking pictures all over the place, that is my photo album. But
how much would you pay for it?
For the two DVD set, the $25 that we just raised it to, I have no problem with. I'd even go the $40 that we have on the website, because it is a double disc, and if you buy any DVD in a store anymore, you know, you're going to be paying $16 to $20 for one DVD.
Sure.
So
but
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, it's an important memoir of your festival, and I'm sure not everybody treats it that way. I mean, I don't treat it that way. I sometimes look at it. Sometimes I just look at pieces of it, and other jugglers don't look at any, and some treat it like you do. So not everybody's going to pay $40, I think.
Right.
I certainly don't have a problem with the $25 price, and I think that's an improvement over the previous price. But still, we're not anywhere near breaking even.
And that's what we have to do is, I don't know, my perspective is not to look at necessarily cutting things and just getting rid of things that are costing us money. I'd really rather look into options of, okay, what do we have to do to make this affordable? Do we have to do it as an online download with the video instead of replicating a bunch of DVDs? Will that save us money? Even options with the magazine to save us money in those areas. Ways, like Holly said, to bring funding in, whatever it may be, whether through donations or whatever, to help offset the costs of these things, because they are important to the organization.
Can I put at least a temporary stop to this madness? And I think because everyone has pretty differing opinions on this, I think it's time for a homework assignment. And really, we all know that something needs to be done. And I know I personally would need some time by myself to brainstorm on what to do about it. But we have Holly's numbers now. We can all take a step back and come up with an idea about what can be done where. For example, Richard might say, we'll come up with a plan about how to restructure the festival. But we're not going to decide anything tonight by going around in this big circle over and over again.
Agreed. So maybe we should come to the table next month with some ideas in hand.
No, exactly. But let's make that commitment to come to the table with something that's real to talk about.
And in the meantime, within the next day or two, I will revise these video numbers based on the information that John gave me tonight and send this budget back out again.
Yeah. Anything else for Holly right now? Okay. Thank you, Holly.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Holly.
Bye.
there any other reports want to be?
I did plan on having a report for the magazine, but I've been traveling too much. So again, apologies. My apologies, but and I'll say the same thing I said last month. Soon.
Anthony, just a question.
Yeah.
Did you get the email that I sent you just today with Alan's breakdown numbers?
I thought you sent that yesterday, but yes, I did.
It may have been yesterday.
Yeah, I did get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gotten everything that you've sent me, I have organized. It's again, putting it all together, so.
No problem.
Yeah.
Kim, would you mind sending that to me as well? Did Alan put any limits on visibility of this information?
No, he did not.
Any restrictions?
No, and he knew that I was going to share it with members of the board.
Okay.
So I don't think he would have a problem there. I can ask him first.
Well, maybe we just shouldn't, post it anywhere.
Right.
Oh, no, I wouldn't post it anywhere, no. But what Alan did was he finally had a chance to get the information that Anthony and I had asked him for a few months ago with a breakdown of the postage and freight that the magazine costs, and this is broken down per issue. Printing and paper costs, art and design costs, content costs, which is the stipends that he pays the contributors, research and interview costs, and material and supply costs.
That's great.
So we have all of that.
I have the numbers right in front of me if you want me to read them off or just send it to you later.
No,
oh,
I don't read them off. This is people listening to this recording.
Fair enough.
Actually, I mean, it's probably not a secret, but I'm sure Alan isn't going to want us to produce it to the whole world.
Right. Fair enough.
I can wait for the email.
Hey, any other reports?
Just video. I believe the video, the DVDs are shipping today or tomorrow. And thankfully, we've had a couple of people look into the video coordinator position. So if I can get any of them to take it, I certainly will.
Excellent. Anybody else for any other reports?
Would this be the appropriate time for me to address the youth jugglership program?
Sure.
Okay. Just so everyone on the board knows, we did have three nominations this year. Jackson Warley was nominated by Scott Anthony. Aubrey Cullis and Justin Cullis were nominated by Bill Barr. And the group of us that looks at their applications, we were kind of hoping that we could give to all three. So we're just trying to find one more sponsorship. We already have enough sponsorships. We had two fest attendees from last year who at the last minute could not attend the fest, and they have donated their fest packages for the youth jugglership program for this year. So just looking for one more donor so that we can send all three of these kids to this year's fest and not have it cost the IJA any money.
What's the I'm sorry, Kim. The package is what again? It's just the cost of the fest itself?
It's 1 year membership and the cost of the fest.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. So that's all I just wanted to share with everyone what went on there.
Thank you. It's good to hear. I don't really have a championships update or anything other than my motion just to clarify some stuff. I guess one thing I'll say is that all the stuff should be posted in the next 2 to 3 weeks up on the internet, ready for people to start sending in prelim stuff, but that first prelim I got was like a week before the deadline, so it'll be there in waiting, I guess. So, but nothing else up there. Anything else? Okay, move on to motions. Chuck Hawley moves to amend the stage championship rules to read as follows. A competitor must be 17 17 or younger the day of the competition to compete in the juniors competition. Can I get a second?
Second.
All right, discussion. This has basically been done because I've had a question about somebody who's going to be 18 right around the championships, and because date changes from year to year, it says the competition is for someone 17 or younger, but what if they turn 17 that Monday and the competition is on Tuesday, or, you know, so we wanted to make sure there was a clarification to make it absolutely clear. So
I'd like you to actually add to the motion that this is a clarification and not any attempt to change the rule. My interpretation is that this is not a change of the rule, but a clarification. Is that correct?
Right.
So I'd like that to be clarified in the motion itself.
Well, I mean, I believe it's to be honest and frank, you know, I don't know that it is a clarification, but the way I interpret it, the rules and the rules before I got to them, I feel it's in sort of the way I read it, and I think that the spirit of the rule, more or less, that the competition for people who are under the age of 18, there's nothing been said about when that cutoff is, what if they're 18 during prelims. So, you know, if we get into lawyer speak, I'm sure you can make some arguments that go against it, but, you know, I feel it's a clarification.
Chuck?
Okay.
Does that make sense? But I'm more than happy to change to clarify.
I don't care.
Chuck, Tony Pezzo, his birthday always happens during the festival.
Does it?
Yep. So he's always a year older by one day at competition time.
Well, and that was one of the argument. You know, what if someone does change on the
right.
day of the competition or the day after? So,
yeah.
Juniors happens a day early. So if they turn 18 the day of seniors, they can't obviously do both. But that would make a difference. So
yeah.
I just. You know, it's not, I don't think it's, I think it's important just to clarify it more than anything. Let me change the motion to Chuck Hawley moves to clarify the state championship rules to read as follows. A competitor must be 17 or younger, day of the competition to compete in the juniors competition. Can I get a second on that change?
Second.
Any other discussion? All right, let's put it to a vote. Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Motion passes. All right, second motion. Kim Laird moves for the suspension of the making of a Fest DVD for the 2009 Festival in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Can I get a second for that motion?
I would actually like to table the motion or suspend it or whatever the proper term is.
Unless you got a second.
I'll second the motion for discussion. So go ahead, Kim.
Based on our prior discussion during the Treasury report, I feel this should be tabled for now.
And I believe you can do that without a vote or anything. Correct? According to Robert,
we have to vote on whether to table or not.
I think she can withdraw it, but I don't think she can table it by herself.
Okay. I'm sorry, withdraw. That's what I was thinking. Okay. So
unless the rest of the board would like me to withdraw it, but I knew we had just got finished saying that we were going to make a decision next month on it.
So I'd leave it in there.
I like tabling it till next month.
Okay.
If you're making that motion, and I'm assuming you are, I will second the motion to table it.
Okay.
All right. Put it to a vote. Anybody opposed to tabling the motion till the next meeting? Anybody abstain? All right. Motion is tabled. All right. Kim Laird, last one. Kim Laird moves that Adria Moskowitz be approved as the WJD coordinator, World Juggling Day coordinator, for 2009. I forget who seconded that, but I know John, Tim, myself, and Richard, is that correct? voted
yes.
for it?
Yes.
I did too.
And Ken. So the motion has passed. And that's on there to basically go on the record. All right, on to Varia. Discussion of hiring an executive director. This is something that Susan Ferris has brought up and sort of made a proposal to the board about an idea. I think it's a good idea to think about, but I think it's a very tough decision. Considering, you know, more or less the way I see it is a gamble. If it works out, it could be very good for us. However, if it doesn't, it could make us much poorer, much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts?
I agree with you, Chuck. For as nice of an idea as it is, with looking $40,000 in the red in the face right now, I don't see us being able to do this. Not at this time.
We just do not have the money. I mean, I agree it's a brilliant idea, but we just don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, this was probably the move that should have been made in 2003.
Yeah.
And we had the elbow room to do it. And we don't have any elbow room at this point.
I don't know if I completely agree with that. I think we do have some room to possibly bring someone on part-time and to push it. You know, it would be difficult and both, you know, politically, and it would take some stomach to know to spend that money, and it would be a gamble, but let's face it, we do have money. It could be done. It's not completely out of the question. And I don't even know that I'm for it, but you know, if we sit here and we each of us honestly feels that, you know, it's just a matter of time before the IJA goes away. Is this something that could really change it and turn around? And if we believe that it is, you know, I could argue that I could make the argument that, you know, it's almost wrong not to do it, to at least give us a chance.
Well, it seems to me that there have been dozens of IJA directors who've basically been thinking about this for 20 years and haven't come up with a solution. So how is, you know, an executive director who's going to think about it harder for, you know, a few months or whatever, what's he going to come up with that, you know, nobody's thought of yet? I know it's impossible to think of something that hasn't been thought of, but, you know, that's what you're counting on if you do this, that he would come up with some idea, he or she would come up with some idea that nobody else has come up with, right?
I'm with you on that one, Martin. I mean, what exactly would this person do, you know?
Well, you know, we'd have to be a professional, someone who's done this before and someone who knows how to raise money.
I mean,
I think Susan's idea was to hire a professional whose training is in how to raise money for nonprofit organizations.
Okay, if it's a matter of soliciting grants and donations, I mean, that's perhaps the one thing that could be done. But, you know, I don't see any other route.
Yeah, no, I believe that is what she's talking about, yeah.
I thought she also stated or implied that this individual would, you know, do membership drives as well and actually aim to raise membership.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things is what can we actively do to pull memberships? And I know, Martin, you've talked about, you know, trying to send out renewal notices more often and stuff, but we don't really do anything to actively go out and pursue members. We sort of put our services out there, whoever takes it, but we don't do it. And, you know, as I'm sitting here and arguing this, I don't necessarily agree that we should go and do this, but I think it's something that should be thought about. And I don't know if we should be spending the money right now on that, whether we have it or not. Yeah, that's just, you know, I think there is some compelling arguments to that because, you know, we have people that get in, they get involved, but they're either not capable, they burn out, they're knocked down, but, you know, a professional would hopefully know what they're doing.
I would almost expect that if for this to go forward, Susan would need to provide us with more detail and an estimated cost before we even think about deciding on it.
Well, and I think part of it would be how much are we wanting to invest. I mean, you know.
Well, when I first came on the board 3.5 years ago now, Todd Strong did offer to fill a position of executive director for $1,200 a month. Now, that was 3.5 years ago. I did email some questions to Susan because I know when, and I'm looking at this from a school district point of view because that's the only point of view I have to go by at this point. But when we hire someone that is an executive director type role and to go out there and get grants and find donations and that, in school districts what they do is you get 10 or 15% of any grant money that you bring into the district. That's your salary. And I asked her if a professional executive director would be willing to do something like that, you know, maybe a small stipend and then 10 or 15% of whatever they bring into the organization. And she said, no, that's not the way an executive director would run. So we would have to pay them a set salary, and it wouldn't. We would be paying them whether they succeeded in bringing money into the organization or not.
Well, wait a second.
That's counter to what she said, though, that too. I thought for sure that she had talked about, she had said that, you know, a certain percentage, maybe not all of her salary, but a certain percentage would be based on how we're performing.
That's not what she emailed back to me.
Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but okay. Well, it doesn't
because,
matter. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it doesn't. Whichever. It just struck me as very odd, you know, that performance may not necessarily be part of it.
Right.
Well, wait a second. What's to stop us from doing exactly what you just said, making like a hybrid of the idea? I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who has some time and would, you know, be willing to investigate some grants on the basis that they'll get 10% of it or whatever. I mean, good God, there's got to be someone like that.
True.
And maybe that's something we solicit for, you know?
That's extra income for somebody for minimal effort, you know?
Well, and it, if it's just a percent, and if that's legal, which I
right.
don't know, then, I mean, we are a nonprofit organization, and that would have to be cleared, I guess.
Right.
But if that's legal, then it wouldn't cost us anything if we could just do it on a percentage basis.
Exactly.
That, you know, that's almost a no-brainer.
Right.
It sounds like we just have to check into the legality of it.
You know, how does anybody have an idea where we would do that?
IRS. I mean, it's IRS rules that we would have to abide by. It may well be legal. Kim, did you imply that the school district did that?
What was that? I'm sorry?
You implied that the school district did that.
We did.
Does
here
that.
In Pennsylvania, yeah.
And I don't know if the school district is a 501c3 or it's a different sort of animal, but.
Well, we're a public school, so I'm not sure what category we fall under.
Yeah.
Whether
the city circus here in St. Louis, they do exactly that. They're a 501c. They just got a pretty big grant, and the person who did it works totally off commission.
Okay.
Richard, can you talk to those people and find out?
Yeah, Jessica Hintoff, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's always writing grants. Now, the truth is, you know, she probably gets one in 30 that she writes, but she never stops writing them. And she just did get a pretty good one. So she gets little ones along the way and occasionally gets a big one, but she writes them continuously. She just took a group of Jewish youth over to Israel to join an Israel youth circus for a summer, and then they came over here. And she got a huge grant to do just that. Now, that's a specific, you know, person looking to help that kind of endeavor, but I can talk to her and see what she can tell me about grants and commissions and things like that, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
if she'd be willing, she'd be interested in doing it for the IJA on the same sort of basis.
Yeah, I'm not sure that she has the time. per se, but she might give us some insight into how to proceed.
So, but, you know, it's another possible income for her, and she might be interested in it.
Well, that's true. She'll do anything to raise funds for her own group, so that could be a way she tries to do it.
Well, and even if we could, you know, get some answers to the legality of it, the time involved versus the time at which she's, you know, how many grants is she writing? How many hours per grant, you know, try versus what she's actually getting back?
Right.
I know it can vary depending on what you go for and
right.
how good you are at it, stuff like, but at least it gives us an idea that, you know, you got to average, you know, an hour for every dollar you get, as opposed to an hour might get you $100.
Right.
Or on average, or whatever it is. I don't know.
I hope it's better than a dollar an hour.
I hope so, too. I think it is. But
yeah, that's what I think I would be if I were writing them. That's what I'm afraid of. So.
I will talk to Jessica about that. She's been doing it a long time. She's part of the American Youth Circus organization, which I am also. But now, having said that, that organization itself has not been very successful at getting grants itself. But she's been pretty successful for her own group here in St. Louis.
And they are a 501c3?
Yep.
So, I mean, that suggests that it's legal, but it doesn't prove it.
It doesn't prove it. I would like to say I know that it's legal, but I certainly wouldn't want to say that, so we need to still check into that, of course.
I'm guessing that it is legal, but several years ago, the issue came up, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. The IJA was actually paying one of its staff members a percentage of the profit from the festival, and that was claimed to not be legal. It was a staff member who nominally, well, it's hard to say whether she was an employee or a consultant, but at any rate, it was claimed that was not legal, and so it was that was terminated, and she was made an employee, and then and paid a fixed salary.
I also have a friend
that was not writing grants. That was, you know, taking percent of income. So sorry, go ahead.
I also have a friend whose wife is an IRS lawyer. I don't know if she has any dealing with this type of stuff, but maybe she can point me in the right direction. So I'll see what I can come up with, too.
I mean, I would say just call the IRS. You know, they've got helplines, and say, can a 501c3 organization have a consultant who takes 10% of donations they get for the organization? Is that legal? That ought to be a straightforward sort of thing for them to answer.
Okay. Right. Anything else to talk about on the discussion for the executive director? Okay. Then let's move on to the YouTube contest. That was for Kevin. I was hoping he would be here.
Was executive director a motion?
No, it was just Varia. It was just
Varia.
Okay. Okay.
The YouTube contest, I'm assuming that's going away at this point. Because we haven't heard anything about it, and nothing's been set up, and it's kind of hitting its past due time.
Is Kevin here?
Kevin is not here, and we haven't heard from him in a while.
Okay.
So let's move on to nomination oversight. Basically, nominations are sent out, and board members who are not up for re-election should be emailed about those. I don't know if current board members on the way out are or not. I think we are right now, correct?
Yep.
John, you have been receiving it too?
What's that, nominations?
Yes.
I don't know. I can't say that I have, actually.
Okay.
But somebody said that I was on the list. I just don't remember getting any of those emails.
Is your term up this year, John?
It is, and I'm not running again.
Okay, I think the fact that you hadn't stated that you were not running meant that we didn't put you on the list. So if you're definitely not running, then I don't see a problem with adding you to the list.
Tuckett
said he wasn't running, so we added him.
Right.
Yeah, and I said being in the meeting officially, I am definitely not running. So.
Yeah, I said that. I said that last month too. I'm definitely not running.
So. We need a board member to do oversight on that. I would prefer it be someone who's going to return next year. And with Kevin not here, that leaves Anthony, Ken, Richard. Does anybody want to volunteer? Basically, what we need is just someone to make sure that it's the things are going through and the stuff, you know, the things are going to the all the information is getting to the chief teller. And we have a chief teller. Do we have one at this point? Is Steve Ron doing it again?
No, we don't have a chief teller. I don't know if anybody's asked him, but I don't think he wants to be it. He would like to do other stuff and not do that, I think.
So and then I guess that person would be responsible for also getting a chief teller. Is anybody up for taking on that task? Okay. well, something to think about. I'll push the issue in the next month. It's something I do not want to do based on the fact I'm going to be doing running championships and sort of on my way out next year. So I would prefer not to do that.
That's mostly stuff that I've been doing. And, I mean, obviously I'm not on the board, so I'm not looking to be appointed as the official person to do it. But I, as a communications director, I've been sort of trying to make sure that things like that don't fall through the cracks.
Right. Okay. So, any other discussion on that? All right. One last thing I want to bring up is board member profiles for the e-newsletter. Don has emailed me and asked about that. Ken, and you're doing that this month, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And Don had written something on the form. I believe he'd like to have something by the weekend, if possible.
Yeah, that'll be possible.
And then
doing
Richard, would you be interested in doing it for next month?
That's fine.
Still has to be just a couple paragraphs. Let us know who you are and communicate, you know, email it over to Don. But I'll let Don know that you're up for next month. And then
okay.
If we have Kevin around, we'll look for him in April. So we'll see what's up with Kevin. So, so then everybody else has done it. So anything else, any other issues anybody wants to bring up? Okay. So the next...
Chuck, I'm sorry, I got one thing. Recently, Dan Holtzman has kind of rehashed this issue that I thought was dead a couple of months back, which is that he wants to sell his frequent flyer miles to the IJA so that he can then use them, you know, as part of his Cascade of Stars budget. There's, you know, if you look at it from a purely business standpoint, it's not entirely a bad deal, but I think it's not a great idea for us to be doing this at this point. And I'm just wondering if anybody else has any thoughts or input on this subject.
You're going to have to explain this a little bit more to me.
Well, Dan has all these frequent flyer miles.
Okay.
And he's saying, how about if I sell them to the IJA at a discount? So that if we were going to fly a performer in and it costs $1,000, he would buy the ticket with his frequent flyer miles and we would pay him $500 instead of the $1,000.
Does that work in general?
What's
I mean,
that?
Can he buy a ticket for anybody with his frequent flyer miles?
Yes.
Apparently you can, yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
can.
Frequent flyer miles are even traded online, apparently.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
Okay.
Trade online or?
No, I mean, meaning I when I go to Brazil with my family, if I can get them on frequent flyer tickets, I do it.
Right. But, you know, overall, I think it's a situation that's rife with the potential for abuse. Not that anybody in this situation would abuse it, but, A, I don't think we want to set the precedent and start doing business this way, and, B, you know, I think we don't need to open ourselves up to any more accusations of abuse. Those are really my two primary thoughts on the subject.
I agree with you on the first one. I mean, okay, so we save a couple hundred, even a couple $1,000 this year. All it takes is 1 year for someone to get burned, and it looks really bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want to set that precedent, and I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not in favor of that at all.
John?
Yes.
My company does a similar program. Basically, the way to make it work, of course, is to you have to set rules. For example, the rules would be the ticket must include at least one stop or one flight change, and it has to be booked 2 weeks in advance so that you get the lowest possible fare. However, the problem comes, this is where it's gonna fail in our organization, in that if we book a guy from Sweden and Holtzman uses his miles, and that guy's mother dies the day before he's supposed to fly and has to cancel, there's no way for Holtzman to get those miles back, and we're sure as hell not gonna pay for him to get them back. So that's where in my company I take that risk by using my miles.
Right.
But Holtzman's not going to be willing to take that risk.
Yeah, right.
John, I think it sounds like a great idea between you and me, but not for the IJA to engage in.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. All right. Good. I just wanted to make sure that that I wasn't thinking completely off base or something like that. Like I said to Dan, if this were a private business that I owned, yes, I think I would probably do that with you. But do I think we can do it in the IJA? I don't think so.
That also then means that we have to go through Dan. Dan has to make all the arrangements pretty much then, right?
Right, it would.
Yeah, and I don't like putting that extra burden on him.
Not to mention Mike, who would have to go through him too, and
yeah, that's just a whole other issue of making sure the communication lines are really, really clear. It's just one more thing to get messed up.
Okay. Now, if he wanted to donate them to the IJA,
that
would be different.
And I certainly suggested that he do that, and he even said that, wondered if we could put maybe a blurb in the newsletter asking people to donate their frequent flyer miles, which we certainly can do that.
I wouldn't ask.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's not a bad idea, actually. But
right.
Yeah, part of me doesn't want to do that after we're basically saying no to Dan either.
Well, but no, we're saying no to buying them, We're saying yes to, give them to us, sure.
Yeah.
And you said he said that we should do that, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you just say Dan said we should ask people to donate them?
Right.
So I don't see a problem.
Basically, at the heart of the problem, I think Dan is feeling a little bit of stress on his Cascade of Stars budget, and he's looking for ways to stretch it a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as we're not pumping more money into that endeavor.
Right.
Right.
Anything else wants to bring up?
I think that because of the financial situation, the issue is, do we really need at this point to let the members know that we are basically desperate for members, desperate for donations, desperate for ideas or whatever? I mean, that the IJA is at risk at this point. I mean, I don't think people realize that. I mean, I'm not sure you would all agree to it, but I think the IJA is at risk now because of, the expected $40,000 loss this year. That's going to bring our cash basically to zero.
And I agree. I think something should be said. I feel like I've been Mr. Doomsday in my chair columns. And I've gotten a couple of responses here and there, but I don't know that people are understanding that, knowing that.
You've been talking about the magazine. You haven't been talking about possibly the magazine maybe going away, and you've been in favor of retaining it, right, in your statements. But you haven't said, the IJA could go broke.
But I've been, hinting at it. And at the same time, I don't want to be – I don't know. I think if you get too down on stuff, but
sure.
People need to know. And I agree that time might be coming.
People need to know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be done in a very, in a very down manner either. I know it's a very, very dismal situation, but if you kind of put the call out there too that, you know, this is every member of the IJA needs to help in this situation, whether it means that you go out and get two people to sign up or whether you go to your company and see if they'll match funds. Because a lot of our members still do not know we are a 501c3, and if they donate money to the IJA, it is tax deductible.
Well, there's an item for the next e-newsletter. First page. We are a 501c3. I mean, we may have actually said that in the newsletter, but let's put it on page one.
I think Martin has the great basis for a membership drive. That here are the facts. We're not just wanting money to do something fun or different. We want to exist, and if we want to exist, we need every single person to get excited about that. And I think telling them the facts is not a dismal thing. I think it's just a very factual reality that they need to understand. I think most people think, oh, I know the IJA is having some problems, but it's going to exist forever. It always has, it will forever. And I don't think people realize
how. I mean, it's true that if we do away with the magazine, we save, you know, $68,000 or whatever it is. But we don't want to really do away with that. And so, you know, we can say, you know, if we don't get more members, we will have to do something. And the magazine is, you know, likely to be the first victim, or the second victim. Maybe the DVD will be the first.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be willing to write something up and put something in the e-newsletter. I think having the budget finalized and having a look at it might be good.
Is that going to be in the newsletter, by the way?
What's that?
Is the budget going to be in the e-newsletter?
At this point, I'd say no, because it's not approved yet.
Okay. Will it be on the website at some point?
I would imagine so, and I would imagine the year-end financials will be too. I'd like to see them there. I think maybe that happens next month. We sort of think about stuff and talk about it at the next meeting, and then, you know, from there, basically, from what we talk about, I'll come out and do something for the e-newsletter. And Kim, you have a bit of a different perspective sometimes than I do. I'd like to get your view and maybe a little of your positive thinking in it, just knowing how I write and think. I think a combination of the two of us might be good if you're willing.
Yeah, I'm willing. It's the cheerleader in me.
Yeah, you're sort of better at that than I am, so.
6 years of cheerleading is hard to shake.
Well, I think Holly's statements are the basis for positive, saying we think we can exist for 3 years, but not five at this rate or whatever, you know. So now's the time to get everybody excited before it's just too late.
And right before the fest is a great time to do it. You know, a couple months before the fest, put a real push on and, you know, try and get people excited not only about coming to the fest but about being part of the IJA.
We could have a pseudo, you know, announcement of a going out of business party for 3 years from hence. Final festival in 2000, whatever that is, 2012. Be one hell of a festival.
No.
2013 IJA Fest at Martin's house.
Yeah, all 12 people in the IJA will come to my house.
I'll be there, Martin.
You guys are it.
All right. Anything else anybody wants to bring up or discuss? You know, one thing I'll say is just let's do our homework and sort of be prepared for the next meeting, and I'll put out some emails to the board, and, you know, let's get some discussion going via Board Plus. Let's not let this just sort of sit in our own for a long period of time. All right, on to next meeting. I am looking at possibly March 18th, the 25th. References?
Give me a sec.
25th, I cannot. I definitely can't do. I'll be in final dress rehearsals.
I'm good on the 18th.
I'm good on the 18th.
18th's cool with me.
18th is also good with me.
Right. So the next meeting will be at Wednesday, March 18th at 8 p.m. And the good news about that is that it will give us some time to get stuff into the e-newsletter then as well. So, all right. So Chuck Hawley moves to adjourn the meeting. Anybody opposed? All right. Meeting is adjourned at 9:44. Thank you, people, and we'll be in touch soon.
You people.
You people.
You people.
Nice.
You people.
What do you mean, you people?
Talking about ants. Guys.
Are the you people here?
Good night, y'all.
Good
y'all.
Night.
Again. Yeah. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
That's funny.